than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, as you can tell, Josh and I are on location here. It is Christmas week. We are enjoying a good lunch. We're going to do a gift exchange. But the Ravens, unfortunately, did not gift us a win this past Sunday. So should we just get that out of the way?
I guess so.
Yeah. So like we both guessed, the Packers did come away with a win against the Baltimore Ravens. But the Ravens, they really did put up a fight against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. I mean, it was actually pretty impressive of how close that game really was.
It was. I mean, if you look at the demographics of the game, right? You know, I was joking in the tailgate lot, man. It was like we might lose 40-7 in the fourth quarter. Like I didn't want to jinx it.
Right.
I never like to be negative, but I was like, this might be the first game I probably leave early, because I'm thinking like Rodgers gonna throw for 400 yards and four touchdowns. Devonta Adams is gonna go off. We're not gonna have a chance. We're not gonna come back. And what was impressive is, even if you fast forward to the fourth quarter, they were down 14 with just under 5 minutes to go.
Right.
So, like, and it was the same way. It was like, I was kind of like the same mentality in my mind. I'm thinking, like, okay, the Ravens don't score here. We're all leaving because, I mean, steam's going to empty out because you figured they're still down 14. Packers got the ball unless they go three and out. But I'm like, it gets harder and harder after that. But,
right.
Again, knowing the outcome, this team continues to fight no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, it.
There really is that next man up mentality. And
it's
even
like they don't care. They don't care who's playing. They don't care who's hurt. They don't care who's out for COVID. It doesn't matter. It don't matter what the circumstances are, you know, virus-related or injury-related, IR.
Right.
It does not matter. It's like, you know, if you'd have told me, I mean, now that obviously they slipped away and they're not in first place right now and they have work to do, but if you'd have told me entering week 14 the team would be in first place after, again, we've talked about it, losing all the running backs, losing Marcus Peters well before the season started, there's no way. Like,
yeah.
I would think the Browns, Bengals, or Steelers would have gotten that. And, you know, to hold it that long, to hold serve that long in first place, true testament to the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
But it got much harder now. We're going to talk about a big elephant in the room again. Decision at the end of the game comes down to it. I know last time, you know, I know you were like, come on, man, because, you know, you wanted that kind of disagreement, the debate. And
yeah.
I kind of was like, no, because I remember at first I was like, no. You remember Steelers game? I was like, no, you kick it.
Right.
And then now I'm like, and then when I step back, I was like, okay, you know what? I like that. You know, go for it. It's your rival. And then now fast forward 2 weeks later, we're at it again.
Yeah.
Before we get into that discussion, I'm just going to say this. Everybody around me, I'm not saying everybody in the stadium, we all knew they were going to go for it, because when they were driving, we looked at each other in the rows that we were in. I looked around, and we talked amongst ourselves. I was like, how much do you want to bet they go for it when they score? And everybody's like, they're going to do it 100%. We know it. Like, it's like the fans knew it. Like,
yeah.
They already knew. So it kind of wasn't a surprise to me. I really want to ask you point blank again. Fast forward to 2 weeks later, a lot of folks I spoke to were like, I liked the call against the Steelers, but didn't like it against the Packers. I hate this whole topic being divisive, but like Ravens fans are like arguing amongst themselves now. It's like, look, you have an opinion. If you want to go for it, great.
Yeah.
You know, you're not the head coach. You're not the players. You know, we can sit here and say you don't like it or you like it, but at the end of the day, the Ravens are going to do what they're going to do.
Right.
And they don't care about what we want. So, I mean, if we did, we would pick up every free agent like it's fantasy football. But, you know, what's your take on it again? Did you like it this time around? Or now you're like, okay, enough's enough. Like, you got to take your chances. What do you think, man?
I love that Harbaugh is aggressive. I absolutely love that. I love that they went for two. I don't know if I would have went with the call to Mark Andrews again. Now, Mark Andrews did have a great game. He broke a record for the Ravens, most rushing yards by a tight end in Ravens history.
Receiving yards.
Receiving,
you said
yards.
Rush yards.
Sorry.
Wait,
receiving
he's rushing?
Yards. Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah, I know. Sorry. Yeah.
Gotcha. Caught you.
It's the lunch, you know. My head's not in the right space, so I'm nice and relaxed.
It was a great lunch.
Yeah. But I don't like the call to throwing it to Mark Andrews because I feel like the Packers knew it was going to Mark Andrews. I knew they were going to target Mark Andrews. I mean, Tyler Huntley showed what he can do on the ground. Why don't you, you know, do a fake to Mark Andrews and then have Tyler Huntley run it in or something like that? I feel like they could have switched around the calls a little bit second time around going for this the 2 points.
And you know how many replays I've seen and still shots? Because it was live in the stadium, and I didn't see this.
Right.
When I'm looking at the play, because it was in my end of the stadium. It was right below. Yeah, we sit up top. It was right below us.
Right.
So I had full advantage of the thing. I'm not looking at the whole play development. When the play happened, I was actually following Tyler Huntley the whole time, and then when I seen where he was going in and seen it was double coverage, I'm like, that's not going to be completed. Game over.
Yeah.
You know, I liked it again. I don't like the play call, and a lot of people were a lot of people in the feedback that I've heard was that the exact same scenario. It was like, look, like going for it, go for it all day long, don't like the play call. And I get everybody screaming Hollywood was open. That wasn't the play design.
Yeah.
I mean, again, and it could be the immaturity of Huntley. You know, maybe if you have a Rodgers or Mahomes or a Brady back there or any other mature quarterback who's a seasoned vet and who's a Hall of Fame caliber, maybe they check out of that and go, okay. And then to me, if that's the case, it's kind of like in my mind, if you replay the play, because the play was designed to go to Mark no matter what. Even if he was quadruple covered, the ball's going to get thrown on no matter what. Like, unfortunately, it's play. But it's like if you know that's the play, and if you saw the play, the safety cheated. Because Harbaugh alluded to, the safety made a great play, and he did.
Yeah.
You know, he's not taking away from the Packers player, but the problem is, you know, if it could be used as a decoy, like, let's pump it to Mark, and then the second, and their actual read is to Hollywood. Hollywood's wide open because the safety cheated.
Right.
Because, you know, the play was the Mark. So, but unfortunately, that was the play run. It, to me, it was almost identical to the exact play. I mean, it was the Mark to the right side of the field, short side, and Lamar, you know, but Huntley was it was a rollout to the short side. I saw the play broken down from the NFL media, so it was in former players, so it was actually pretty cool to see it.
Right.
Because it was trips left, the receivers, and then they were cutting across, and then that it was a rollout to the short side, and Mark Andrews was supposed to, like, kind of go, you know, in the end zone to a pylon and turn around, and then the ball was, it was like a timing play, but the safety made a great play.
Right.
I mean, you can say nothing about the throw and all that, but all in all, we're in agreement again. It's funny to me because a lot of fans are like, immediately my friends are like, no, why? Like,
yeah.
I liked it at Pittsburgh, not here, and I'm like, what's the difference? You're playing against two Hall of Fame quarterbacks,
right.
Two Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, if that, one's your rival, one's not. And they, granted, the Steelers would have had 12 seconds here. You have Aaron Rodgers with 42 seconds timeout, and that's the problem. You would have tied the game at that point. You still had work to do. It wasn't, I think, at first when I was mad about it, because I was like, that's the problem. It was like, no, you kick and go to overtime because it's that 42. But again, you had 42 seconds, one timeout.
Right.
If the Packers even you get the ball in the 25, all Aaron Rodgers got to do is throw it 30 yards, call timeout. And then everybody was saying how, well, Mason Crosby was low percentage beyond 40 yards beyond. But I'm like, but he's still got to make the kick, man. Like, we've seen Justin Tucker miss small ones too. So, like, you know, just because, I mean, I'm not comparing Mason Crosby and Justin Tucker, but you get it. You still got to make the plays. And how many times have we seen Aaron Rodgers, you know, with Hail Marys and with last-minute second plays?
Yeah.
Like, I think they won a game. The Packers won a game this year with this. I think it was against the Cardinals. They went up and scored, and then literally it was like 30 seconds later, no time. I think the Packers had no time at that point. Aaron Rodgers, boop, 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 and they went right down the field, and you're like,
and he was unstoppable.
And that's the problem. He was unstoppable. You have to give credit to the defense where it's due, but they did go on a roll as of late. I mean, the Ravens, they went toe-to-toe. What was it, 14 at the half, if I remember? I don't know. I think it was 21-4. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But I think it was tied at the half. But then the second half, couldn't stop them. And it's the same answer. Like, Harbaugh made that decision because of Humphrey went down, and he didn't want to take his chances in the secondary when they just let Steelers score.
Right.
Because you look at the Chargers, same thing. You know, if you look at the Chargers' Thursday night game against the Chiefs, yeah, they didn't cash in. They were ultra-aggressive. If they cash in any one of those, they win the game just like the Ravens. But they take their chances in overtime with Mahomes. Mahomes went right down the field and tied the game. They won a coin toss, went right down the field, and two, three plays won the game in, like, less than a minute. And it was just like, you know, you're not going to keep these downs. And a lot of fans, when I sat back and read the reaction, a lot of it was F Harbaugh, fire Harbaugh, like because they were blaming the head coach that he takes the fall, and the fans were upset. than a lot of people are. Like, look, even if you kick the extra point, you still got to stop A-Rod. Like, you still got to do that. I mean, you know, how many big chunk plays now? The Packers didn't really get the big play, as we've usually seen, kill the Ravens, like the big long touchdown. But they were – like, I remember there was a third and 19, or there was a third and long. Like, it was 19, 15, 17 yards. I can't remember. And he chucked it down the field, and I think it was Valdes-Scantling, or I think even Lazard. I think it was even Adams who caught the ball. It was like a 30-yard gain, and I'm like, you know, Aaron Rodgers has that ability. And I'm like, look, I like the fact that against Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers and against Aaron Rodgers, you're like, go for it. And credit the Ravens for even being in that position. They were down 14. Tyler Huntley played his rear end off.
He did.
He did something that Lamar didn't even do. If you saw the first, I was flabbergasted. He's the first Raven to throw for two touchdowns and rush for two in the same game.
Yeah.
Like, not even Lamar did that. So put that in perspective. What's bittersweet about this is we have a viable backup.
Yeah.
And Lamar Huntley is basically two plays away from going 3-0 in the starts here.
Lamar Huntley?
Yeah. Did I say Lamar Huntley?
Yeah.
I did it all the time. So, yeah, sorry, Tyler. We have a viable backup, and you have to be proud of that. And but then it also, other teams could be looking at that. This could be an off-season thing, but could that be trade bait for the Ravens? But then the Ravens have something to take into consideration of, like, with Lamar's contract later, what do you pay him? But then how do you retain Huntley? Because to me, if you were brand new to the Ravens and knew what Lamar looked like in his skill set, to me, if I didn't know Tyler Huntley was playing, I wouldn't even look at the name or the number on the jersey. I would think it's the same guy.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, though. Not even the same guy. Huntley is playing better than Lamar, and I it's a fact. You're seeing it. He's making the throws that Lamar hasn't lately. Yeah. Don't know what's up.
That's my next question to you. Is there a QB controversy? You know, back with the Capitals, you've got two goalies that are good. You've got Samsonov and you've got Vitek Vanacek.
Right.
And they're a 1A, 1B. There isn't a backup. They're
of course,
both
yeah.
kind of starters. But is there a QB controversy in Baltimore after these couple games that Tyler Huntley has kind of shown off?
The short answer is no. Yeah. But I actually joked about in the stands when Huntley brought us back within seven and they were driving before it even scored the potential, you know, whether it was game-tying or game-winning touchdown and a two-point setup. I joked in the stands, and I was like, Lamar, who? And then one guy pointed at me, and he laughed because he knew I was joking. And he's like, nah, man, eight's our guy. And I'm like, I know. I said, I'm kidding. I was like, for all everybody around me, I'm not trying to stir the pot. I said, I'm kidding. Like, I was totally kidding.
Yeah.
But it's fun to talk about. No, I don't think there's controversy because Lamar's Lamar. And, you know, this isn't a Drew Bledsoe, Tom Brady situation where it's like Drew Bledsoe gets hurt. I mean, Lamar doesn't have like a serious injury. You know,
right.
He probably could have played. He might have played if it was a playoff game, but they kept him out. Maybe because yeah. I mean, he wasn't even ruled out until like Saturday night or Sunday. I think Lamar was listed out like officially like Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So it was like that's how non-serious this injury was. It's still an injury and it's concerning, but they keep Lamar out. See, that happens with Tom Brady, right? Blue chip blood goes to go down, Tom Brady enters, and then the legend's born. Like, you know, we just don't know what can happen. But, no, I don't think we have a controversy, but I think we have something good as it's now that if one of them gets hurt
right.
or one of them's out for protocols, we're in good hands. And that's
right.
something to be proud of. And I don't understand the division with the Ravens fans. It's weird. Like, to go for it, not go for it. The Tyler Huntley's playing better. Lamar sucks. Like, you're not going to trade Lamar. Let's cut to the chase. You're not firing Harbaugh. Let's cut to the chase. No matter, again, you're entitled to opinions, but I don't know if you saw the wire. And I also, not that I disagree with the call, but my perspective completely changed as well. Not changed, but it was kind of more solidified. Did you see the wired clip when Harbaugh?
He was asking everybody.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
I was moved by that.
Yeah.
And not that I like to go on a tirade on social media and jab at fans, but when I see a post saying, fire Harbaugh, F Harbaugh, you don't know what he's doing, but then we see a clip that denounces that and saying, like, it wasn't him. He asked his players, like, hey, what do you guys want to do? And, of course, the rebuttal to that is, well, of course players are always going to go for him. Like, they could have easily said, now let's kick it, coach, and then he probably would have kicked it.
Yeah.
I fully heartedly believe, dude, he's a great coach. I mean, a lot of fans were right social media. I'm done with Harbaugh. He's costing us games. I'm like, how is he costing us games when he literally went to his players, and then people are like, and again, you don't know context, but people are like, well, he was asking his players, yeah, but he was going to do what he was going to do. I'm like, how do you know that?
Right.
Then, not only that, but we don't follow the other teams, but I don't know if the 31 other teams are doing wired segments like this. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because, like, a lot of coaches were brought up, well, those other coaches wouldn't do that. But how do you know? Are they? Do you know if they're consulting your players on sideline, or are they making decisions and not? To me, that shows faith in your guys. Like, hey, what do you guys want to do? It doesn't show indecisiveness.
Right.
It shows that's a leader to me, Brandon. It's, you know, some people might think differently. They might be like, oh, it shows weakness because you're not leading. You know, you're not taking charge of leading. You're kind of like, well, I don't know what to do. What do you guys want to do? Like, the players ultimately decide, but they got to make the plays. And Harbaugh's putting it in the players' hands. So for all these people who are saying fire Harbaugh and F Harbaugh, well, you might as well fire the players too, because it was ultimately their decision.
Yeah.
It reminds me of 2019, the turn of the tide. Remember, we never really seen that aggressive nature out of the Ravens, and Harbaugh had faith in Lamar and Seattle to say, do you want to go for it? And you remember Lamar's answer.
That's right.
Yeah, let's go, just go for it. And he scored a touchdown. The problem is the Ravens aren't cashing in on that reward.
Yeah.
They're not rewarding him. But like Harbaugh alluded to, you take away all the bad calls, all the craziness. Harbaugh alluded to it in this press conference. Two plays. You convert two-point conversion. Two plays. We're talking two plays.
Right.
And that's the difference between your 8 seed and being out and a number one seed. They're number one seed in the AFC if they make those two plays.
Yeah.
And what's even, I wouldn't say funnier, but for like better words, I say what's even more ironic and funnier about this situation is, didn't they make two-point conversions to come back against the Colts?
They did.
So they've done it before.
Yeah.
And I said this when we covered the Steelers game. The difference of the Steelers game is they made the two-point conversion, we didn't.
Right.
Like, you make a play, totally different conversation. Now you're like, our ball's aggressive, I love him. Stop it, because you're going to praise him if they made it. Now you're going to, you know, curse him if he didn't. So pick one. But to me, I'm ride or die. I'm going to stick with it. You know, we can talk about logically amongst fans and friends. But at the end of the day, I'm ride or die with this team. You know, I have season tickets. You know, we bleed purple around here. You know, we can talk about logically and call him out when we need to call out. Call Lamar when he's playing bad. Call out Harbaugh when he makes dumb decisions or clock management. But at the end of the day, he trusts his players to say, what do you guys want to do? And he actually asked them, you saw the clip, and I almost really have tempted to play it on the show. He literally said, do you want to take the chances in overtime and kick it here, or do you want to go for it?
Right.
Like, end it. And I love the aggressiveness, because you know what? I don't know why. Like you said, you love the aggressiveness. I'm aggressive by nature.
Right.
I'm a gambler by nature, and I look at it this way. I'm not comparing football to poker.
Yeah.
But same regards. It's about decision-making and making the right decision when. And sometimes you cash in, sometimes you lose. I've been in poker tournaments where if my card comes out, it totally changes the narrative, where I'm like, I'm a chip leader, or if I'm playing a cash game.
Right.
My card comes out and I calculate it, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm open-ended, or I got this flush draw, whatever. If my card comes out, I could have a good chunk amount of money in front of me, but my card didn't come out and I lose. You win some, you lose some. Sometimes it happens, sometimes I don't. The last time I played poker, I finished third place because apparently I found out that I hit a one-outer. I hit one card of a 52-card deck, and that was the card that I needed, and I cashed in, and I ended up third place.
Yeah.
That card don't come out, I'm going home empty-handed. So sometimes you make the right decision, and you go for it, and you make the right read. Like I said, going back to it, love the call going for it, draw up a different play. And I feel like looking at the Chargers game, of how that game went for the against the Chiefs, looking at the Ravens, I don't know why. I don't like throwing it when you're in a confined space, when you have 20 other guys running around.
Yeah.
Or 21 other guys. It's 11-11. You put the quarterback minus quarterback. You're trying to jam that ball into a minute space. For 2 yards, run the football. I feel like, and it could be a lack of the running game with Devonta Freeman.
I mean, it's been non-existent all year.
But Huntley ran in for two the last two.
Right.
Why don't you do a bootleg with him? Like, I've called for Lamar when he, you know, and Lamar obviously made an errant throw, but credit again, we talked about it. Steelers game, rewind a few weeks ago, T.J. Watt was right in his wheelhouse.
Yeah.
You know, if T.J. Watt wasn't there, he probably makes a clean throw and they win in Pittsburgh. But, you know, all in all, I thought the Ravens played a great game plan. I mean, they regressed from the start, because you remember, and again, in going back to him, I want to ask you this. Did you like going for it on fourth down and goal right on the first drive? Because apparently you take your licks, you didn't get it, swallow your pride, you kick three really close.
Right.
We already know they win the game, hindsight. So, and I'm not saying, again, you could easily say it costs us the game, but you're not going to know that play cost you the game after the first drive in the first quarter. Like, are you kidding me?
Right.
But Do you like it then? Like you like they were aggressive from the get go. So at least Harbaugh was consistent, and the Ravens were consistent, saying, you know what, we chose to bail out and kick it there, but then now we're going to go for it. Like, no, he started and finished it the same way. He was like, no, we're going to, because at the end of the day, it's like Mahomes, you got to score points.
Yeah.
Because they knew the Packers, they put up 30, and credit to the Ravens, they put up 30 points themselves. So all in all, against these quarterbacks, against these great teams, and look at it this way, with the Super Bowl. Yeah. What if there's no other game next week, and if this was a Ravens-Packers Super Bowl?
Yeah.
You got to leave it on the field. You go for it. You got to get the points. You got to cash in. And they drove all the way down here, and again, to kick three, it would have just been an insult. I know, again, hindsight, if you kicked it there, you win the game after the fact, but
right.
Dude, you got to score. And the ultimate object is to win the game. You don't win the game kicking it and tying it, hoping for the best. No, you go and win it there.
Right.
And I love it every day of the week, and I love their listeners out there. But on the Facebook page, if you disagree, love to know why and your opinions. I love that. We need that friction. You know, everybody. I mean, I'm not saying it's boring. We all agree. I mean, but a lot of Ravens fans. There's been a select few that were outspoken that I spoke to, and it's fine. But a lot of fans were like, no, they agreed that they love the call again. Love the call not to play. One last thing, I'll get off of that. As I was watching NFL Live, you know, good old Chris Mortensen. You know, he reported that he didn't give names, but he said about six or seven NFL execs and GMs. And owners, they agreed. They said they liked going for it. They didn't like the play that was called. So, you know, I'm not saying like we're looking for like kind of like, you know, ammo in our pocket here. But like, okay, well, we have all this on our side that justify it. But at the end of the day, Ravens are going to do what they're going to do, and they're trying to win football games. And you know, whether it's analytics or whether it's emotion, you got to be aggressive because how many times has the Ravens been passive and lost games? Like, they prevent defense, like, playing to lose.
Right.
Now they're being aggressive. We've always wanted them. How many times have we been in the stands? Go for it, coach. Go for it. Yeah, go. You always call the team to go for it. Now they're going for it. And because they don't get it, they're bums. Like, pick one. Either pick a side. Either you don't like the aggressiveness or you do, but don't clamor for it and then complain when it doesn't work because it's got a 50-50 shot. It's either going to work or it doesn't.
I think that going for the fourth down on the goal line for that first play, if Lamar's in, I don't think Harbaugh calls it and says, let's go for it for four. You've got a rookie QB out there. I think that was Harbaugh's way of saying, like, we believe in you. You got to show us what you can do. We know you can do it. Now go win the game. I think that was the line of thinking for that first drive. You've got Tyler Huntley out there who has played, what was it, one other game? He started one other game before that. I think he was going, we got faith in you. Go get it. And I think that's why he did that fourth and goal, going for it on the first drive. I like the aggressiveness. I like the fact that they did that. I think Tyler Huntley throughout the game kind of did show that he is a rookie. He's a young QB. He did great against Aaron Rodgers. You look at Aaron Rodgers' numbers compared to Tyler Huntley, and they were pretty much neck and neck.
Right.
And but I think there was a couple plays where he got a little frazzled and he threw the ball away. You know, there was some intentional grounding there. And I think that comes with the territory. He's a rookie. He's going to have to learn this kind of stuff, learn how to stay cool and calm under the collar when he's under pressure.
And it also alludes to the point, too. Harbaugh had this aggressive nature with Huntley under center. So what's that tell you?
Yeah.
You know, we already know how he feels when Lamar goes for it and he has the confidence in him. But it means he had the confidence and he knew the abilities of Huntley under with the direction of that offense that – hey, I believe in you to go get that play done. Like, it wasn't like, well, we're going to be conservative because we have Tyron Huntley. Now, if Tyron Huntley wasn't playing out of his mind, probably we go more conservative approach. But because Huntley's shown, you know, with the win of Chicago and with keeping it close against Cleveland and bringing the team back, I mean, look, you know, Huntley pretty much could have almost led two, he could have been basically 3-0 in three starts. Two straight wins with double-digit deficits in the second half, especially in the fourth quarter. I mean, the Ravens were down 24-6 to the Browns. Browns didn't score a point. Ravens lost ultimately 22-24. They were down 31-17 in the fourth quarter with Lilly. He ran that first rushing touchdown with just under 5 minutes to go. And obviously the Packers didn't score the rest of the remainder. It was 31-30. So you look at it, he led a comeback in two consecutive games. So you have to give him credit, and that's why I said I love the aggressiveness because Harbaugh – he's already shown enough to believe that he earned that.
Right.
And what fans are frustrated about, and this is another big thing, it's an impact because, you know, the Ravens, believe it or not, 3 weeks ago, they were 8-3.
Right.
You know, they were 8-3 football team, and we were flying high. You know, we were talking about them, and lost three straight. Now, not alluding to this, but it's just it's fun to think about because it's true and it happened. Not comparing this because I don't think this is a Super Bowl year by any stretch of the means. Like, they might get in, might make a playoff win or not. I don't know.
Right.
But each of the playoff, not playoffs, each of the Super Bowl years that they've had a three-game losing streak tied to that.
Right.
So, but here's where it comes down in the numbers and my favorite thing to talk about. So, Ravens entering Week 13 at an 8-3 record. They were 73% chance making the playoffs. They were a 47% chance of winning the North. So, their chances are pretty good. Now, fast forward to Week 15. They've lost two straight. Their chances went down from 73 to 67% to making the playoffs.
Right.
And went from winning the North at 47 to 40. So, they lost a little bit of ground, but they're still controlled that. If they'd have had to beat the Packers, if they'd have beaten the Packers and had been 9-5, their chances jumped up to 79% making the playoffs in total and 52% winning the North. 50-50 shot, pretty much. Now they're sitting 8-6. Their chance to make the playoffs is a coin flip, 50%. Yeah. And the chances of winning the AFC North are 26%. So there's where the backlash fans, and I went back and forth this on Twitter with a good friend of mine. You know, I said, and he called out the two statements I made. I was like, people are mad because of that exact reason, because those plays, if you magnify them, they're costing us a playoff spot right now. The Ravens went from first seed a few weeks ago to fourth. Now they're eighth. They're out of it right now.
Yeah, they're in the hunt.
They're in the hunt. So have work to do. They have three incredibly hard games the rest of the way. Bengals, Rams, and Steelers. Pretty tough.
That's a rough stretch, but we
know what's happening here. So, and when that happens and fans are emotional, the logic goes out the door. And I'm like, again, with the aggressive play call, you got to do it. But, if you don't like it, that's certainly fine. At least they're trying. At least they're showing the effort. I'm like, we're going to go get it. We're going to go get the win, and the object is to win the games at the end of the day. Regression for me, too, because, again, I got a few text messages right when they line up for it, and they're like, what's going on? Why are they doing that? And I'm like, I don't know. Why are they doing that? And then, again, it was like knee-jerk. Like, no, you got to kick it. And I'm like, no, you don't. And then when I saw the clip, it kind of just got me off the ledge a little bit. And I'm like, you know what? Go for it, bro. I'm an all-in kind of guy. All or nothing. Like, let's go win. And then, like I said, let's go win this thing. And unfortunately, it's a three-game losing streak. And what's even crazier, bro, a total of 4 points. Total. They lost to Pittsburgh by one.
Yep.
The Browns by two. And the Packers by one.
That's something.
Insane. So, it's a matter of a handful of plays.
Yeah.
And then if they don't take a sack on the final drive after the onside kick and Browns, that changed the complexion of the drive.
Yeah.
They have two timeouts in the pocket, but that sack, you can't take that there. It totally ruined the momentum of that drive. So, they're pretty much a non-sack play, maybe, because they weren't even a field goal, but they were getting there. I mean, they had maybe 20 yards, 25 yards to go with two timeouts and a minute and a half.
Right.
It was theirs for the taking. They didn't make the plays. Browns made the play there. They don't make the – even if they make one of the two-point conversion wins, now you're – instead of 8-6, you're 9-4, or 9-5. So still one game better. But, two plays away from a 10-win team to an 8-win – now an 8-win team. Look, I'll take it because they didn't get blown out like I thought they would.
There's still some fight in these Ravens.
There is still some fight in the Ravens, and you got to credit to them. And with three games to go, we know that they're going to fight to the bitter end no matter what.
Yeah. Now, this is a little off topic, but somewhat on topic. Not to deal with the Packers game. Well, let's move off of that now. But in Maryland, sports betting has just become legal, and you're allowed to place bets on sporting events. Now, since you said you're a gambler, I'm interested in this as well. Have you bet on the Ravens yet to do anything?
No, not yet.
Do you plan on doing that?
No. I don't bet on the home teams.
Oh, okay.
I never invest in the home teams. Here's a rule of betting. You never invest with your heart.
Right.
Never, because you'll lose every time. Every time. Now, albeit I got Ravens on my fantasy, a little bit different.
Sure.
Because it's a hodgepodge of players. I'm not relying on one team. Like, I'm not going to be like, I bet the Ravens cover the spread, and they don't cover the spread. You just don't. I don't do that. Other people might feel differently. Knock yourselves out. I never bet with my heart. Like, it was the same, and I do this because I used to not draft Steelers in my fantasy. Oh, I'm drafting everybody but Steelers, but then I look at it this way. Money's on the line. Who cares?
Right.
Put hatred aside. Put your fanfare aside. Money's money. I want to get paid.
Yeah.
So you never bet with your heart because you'll lose. It's the same way, because I play poker a lot.
Yeah.
They always say leave emotion at the door is like the first rule. Like, you cannot be emotion. It's why I always call it poker face. You cannot show emotion. You can't reveal what you have.
Right.
You have to always appear strong when you're weak and weak when you're strong. That's the whole little mantra. You can't. You got to just stay that. It's kind of like I always call it the Joe Flacco. Like, the no matter what, just be even keeled.
Yeah.
Like, Joe Cool. You know, like, okay, we got this. I mean, whether you're winning or losing, just remain that way. So, you know, it's a good way to do it. But, yeah, sports betting is finally – and we always joke about it because I'm like, look, we have, what, four casinos in the state, three or four casinos in the state?
Yeah.
And they got one down in National Harbor, and I'm like –
yeah,
we got but that, you can't. But we can't bet on sports. But we can go gamble all day long. All the other slot machines. I'm like, to me, they were just behind the eight ball. That should have been rolled out right when the casinos opened. But yeah, what do I know? I'm not a gambling expert or any casino expert. But yeah, finally, Maryland got on board, especially with the upcoming, you know, DraftKings being a monster as it is with the DraftKings sportsbook now.
Yeah, right.
You couldn't really, and a lot of friends had to go to PA to place bets now, and then sometimes Delaware because Delaware is a sportsbook now. Finally, Maryland gets on the board. I'm more of a college football kind of guy.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot easier. And with the NFL being so crazy, not only not betting with the Ravens, but, like, look at the parity of the NFL. I actually heard this weekend was a record low in touchdowns scored. Like, I mean, look at the games on Tuesday.
Yeah.
It was a sloppy one-score game. It was 3-3. Rams and Seahawks were tied at 3.5. Like, 3?
Right.
And it was just, you know, it's just hard. And then you look at the Cardinals. Like, Cardinals got blasted by the Detroit Lions. Like,
yeah,
you just don't know what could happen week to week, and because the games are so close, and then with everything going on, you just don't know. So, but yeah, I'm happy sports betting's here in Maryland for all of our gamblers out there, and not the advocate, but always gamble responsibly.
Of course,
always, because it's an issue. But
if you need help with a gambling addiction, there are places to go.
Exactly,
and you can reach out to
them. Be smart.
Yeah.
You always use disposable income. I'm not going to preach to the choir, you know, because we all get it. But it's just like anything out there, drugs and alcohol and anything. It's an addictive thing. It's a financial impact, and it can impact families. I've seen it negatively impact people before. And you know, you got to take care of what you got to take care of. But you know, I'm always willing to play with what I know I'm comfortable losing. I'm like, you know what? If I don't see that money, who cares?
Right.
I'll make it next week. But like, that's how I've always done it. But been smart. But again, always be smart out there. Just because now sports books legal, don't go crazy.
Yeah.
We don't want to see you mortgage the house.
Right.
Don't go into debts for all of our fans out there. You don't want to be advocate for that. But, you know, it's okay to, you know, put a few bucks on some things, but be responsible is the mantra.
See, I've never done this before. Like I said, it's brand new in Maryland.
Are you going to do it?
I think I'm going to try it for the next game just to see what you can bet on. Because, again, I know there's – you can bet on, like, a quarter, like, specific plays. You can bet on –
yeah, they have different bets.
I mean,
like,
it's crazy.
You can do like over and under play, like not plays, but like yards. Like now, the biggest thing on the Daily Fantasy now, and I hear it when I listen to the podcast, is like the case just came up on Monday night with David Montgomery. It was an over and under, like David Montgomery getting total yards of like this or rushing yards of this, and then what happened is he had it, but then he got tackled for like a loss,
right?
And it went under. And then the end of the game won that. So, like, he had it, but because they had a negative play. Same thing with, like, Justin Fields, like, or the quarterbacks. Like, even with fantasy, somebody I knew won on a technicality. They won fantasy because Matt Stafford took a knee and it was negative rushing yards. So, because it was fractional yards, points, they got points deducted because, and I've always griped about this being a fantasy guy. When you take a knee, it shouldn't count as negative rushing yards, but it does because you're going backwards and losing yards and taking a knee. It's so stupid, but I get it. But that's the technicalities in gambling, so you never know. And even with, like, the Browns game, like, if you rewind it a couple weeks ago, the Ravens won by 2. The spread was 2.5, so the Browns didn't cover. So it's just – it's so weird, like, how these things happen. And brings me to my next point, because we know in the game the Ravens had a horrific – defensive pass interference call against them.
Right.
Wasn't even close. Obviously, next play led to an Aaron Rodgers touchdown. Not saying cost us the game,
right,
but egregious. Can't happen. It's the same thing with, like, the Cleveland game. You know, it should have been offensive pass interference against Landry, and it was defensive pass interference. Like, are you kidding me? It's gravely disgusting that these calls are just blatantly missed. And I'm like, I get it, right? We can see it live on TV and it's fast-paced there, but I'm like, got to get it right.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys are field level right there. They can see that. But with another thing is a lot of fans feel that because the betting has been introduced into sports, it could be a liability for the games to be kind of fixed. And I say that with the air quotes because you don't know, but it just feels that way because it's like you get these phantom calls and then it leads to an Aaron Rodgers touchdown. And you're like, well, obviously they're favoring the Packers because all the money's on, you know, Vegas and the Packers. Vegas don't want to lose.
Right.
So we're going to make some errant calls to keep that, you know, in check.
Yeah.
So really when that happened, you know, when I had a break in the action, I don't like checking my phone during the game when I'm watching the game live, but when there's a break in the action, I check my phone, and literally, same, me and you are wrestling enthusiasts, and I'm like, dude, when that call happened, it's like, it makes you think this isn't regular WWE. I'm like, it's a phantom call. The next play is a touchdown. You're like, wait a minute. Because it's kind of like the theory with the Super Bowl 47 with the lights going out. Like, it's a blowout. Everybody, of course, wanted the Niners to win. Ravens had no business winning that game, let alone being there with a miracle play and all that. And then Ray Lewis alluded to it. Like, all of a sudden the lights go out, and then all of a sudden it's a different game. Like, it just makes you think with these weird situations that happen. I'm like, again, you can't fix the miracle plays that happen, like the Edelman catch in Super Bowl 51 when the Patriots came back. You can't script a David Tyree helmet. Like, some of those crazy plays that happen, but it just makes you think, like, with money being more introduced into the game, is that going to ruin the integrity of the game? Because now the refs have more power, where it's like, if the game gets out of hand, let's rope them in a little bit and keep this back close because Vegas is about to lose their cool. So, to me, it's a really fine line.
Yeah.
It's great for bettors and great for the fans, but for the integrity of the game, is it going to water down so bad where now it's like, why even root for your team? Because you know it's fixed.
Yeah.
Like, you know, not to a point, but it's the same thing with, like, when we watch wrestling. It's like, we expect a change in belts or change in this or surprise, and it's like, it goes chalk or they do something stupid at the end, and then you're like, you know, why we watch this crap? But it keeps you watching anyway, even though you say it. You're going to watch it no matter what, but it's going to water down the product.
And we saw that with the MLB and, like, Pete Rose and that type of thing. I mean, same kind of issue, but hopefully we don't see something like that, and hopefully there are, you know, certain things that are in place to make sure those type of situations don't happen. But let's look forward to the next game. It's the Ravens, it's the Bengals. We're recording this midday on Wednesday. The Ravens held practice indoors this time around, so there, as of this recording, there's no update of who was injured, who was not. We don't know if Lamar practiced. We don't know if Lamar didn't practice. They're not telling anybody that. We have to wait until, I guess, later today when the injury report comes out, so everybody listening to this will know before us. But
and we'll always update on the Facebook page if any breaking news happens.
Yeah. But right now the Ravens have, as of this recording at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Wednesday, 7 players on the COVID list. Justin Houston, Pernell McPhee, who literally came back for a day off the IR. Now he's on the COVID list. Sammy Watkins, Chuck Clark, Jimmy Smith, Chris Westry, and Tristan Collin. All these guys are on the COVID list. Now, some of them were on it last week. They could come off at the end of the day.
And then with the updated protocols, you know, that could speed up things. I know the NFL was quick to kind of look into that and say, let's call an audible on that. So, you know, right now we're dealing with that. It's the nature of the beast. That's something out of anybody's control. I feel like you just got to let that run its course and let – it's kind of like there's the whole pit chance and poker aspect, right? Let the chips where they fall and it's luck. Like, who's going to be out, who's not, who knows? But that's the variant of the game. Like – you know, it affected the Browns, where obviously they had, like, their whole squad out, and they lost in the last second field goal. I mean, it happens. We don't like it, and we hope everybody's well, but that's what we're dealing with. So, you know, you can get mad at it all you want, but it ain't like these guys on IR, like, got hurt on purpose or, like, with the other guys out on IR. It's going to be interesting to see what the shuffling of the deck looks like for the Ravens and who might be cleared to play, who's not. But at least, like you said, like there's players that have been on it over a week, should be cleared to play with the updated protocols for this game. We shall see. Huge losses if it's not, but I guess for me, I feel like I'm just not worried because, again, it feels like no matter what, you know the Ravens are going to be at the end, because I feel like other than the Dolphins, I wouldn't say it's a blowout, but, I mean, they did lose 22-10. So, I mean, they lost by 12. They lost by double digits, two scores. You know, I feel like the Ravens have been in every game. So, hey, players in there, great. If they're not, deal with it.
Yeah. So, let's say like the cornerbacks are the same crew that we saw against Aaron Rodgers. It's the same defense. There are no changes because, like, again – Marlon Humphrey's out. So many people are out there. The corners are depleted. how are they going to do against a guy like Joe Burrow?
Well, we thought Devonta Adams was going to go crazy, and it was actually Mark Andrews who went crazy on the Packers.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at it from a fantasy point standpoint, for me, Mark Andrews had, like, it was like 35, 38 points depending on your league, and Devonta Adams is 16. So, like, Mark Andrews doubled him in fantasy production, doubled him on the field. So, you know, and if you look at what Ja'Marr Chase did to us last time, even with Marlon Humphrey covering him and let up 200 passing yards total, you know, you cannot play big plays. I feel like Joe Burrow's going to give him a headache.
Yeah.
You know, there's something going to matter with them. Joe Mixon's dealing with, I think, an injury. I don't know if I don't think it was COVID. I think it was an injury-related toe or something like that. So, something to monitor on the the Bengals with Joe Mixon.
Joe Burrow's got something up with his finger,
yep.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, he heard it a few weeks ago. I remember watching the game, and he actually heard it. He was pretty upset, but, I mean, didn't look like it affected him the last game. So, you know, throwing long passes to Tyler Boyd for touchdowns. So, it's going to be tough, especially with the added pressure of it being a road game, with the added pressure of this is the North on the line. They've already said this is first place on the North right now, sole possession. I mean, and see how with the Ravens being two plays away from number one seed overall in the AFC, just like with the Browns. If the Browns would have won their game on Monday night, they would have been in first place in the AFC, in AFC North. Now they're in last.
Yeah.
They were a win or a loss away from first. That's just how close this race is with three teams. Bengals and Ravens are 8-6. Bengals get the advantage because obviously the tiebreaker right now. Browns are 7-7 and the Steelers are 7-6. I mean, razor thin margins.
Yeah.
And the Ravens play the Bengals and the Steelers to left. And each team plays a divisional opponent twice. So with three to go. So this race is probably going to come down to the last
game when
the Browns play the Bengals and the Ravens play the Steelers.
Right.
It's going to be, and they're all going to be at the same time, so you're not going to be scoreboard watching.
Like, even if you say that, is this game on Sunday a – I mean, they all have to be, but is this one a must-win?
Yes, it is, and it's a playoff game. I mean, it is. I mean, if the Ravens lose four straight and go 8-7, the Bengals sweep them. I mean, Bengals, to me, take the North.
Right.
Because, I mean, even the Ravens went out, and you were 10-7. I feel like 10-7 is good. 10-7 might get them a Walker game, but they're not probably going to get the division because, I mean, the Bengals are going to be 9-6.
Right.
The Ravens are 8-7. The only way that happens is if the Ravens went out and go 10-7 and the Bengals lose and go 1-1. So, like, I don't know. It's just the way you look at it because, I mean, that would put the Bengals at 9 wins.
Right.
At 9-6. So they would have to be 9-8 and the Ravens would be 10-7. So the Ravens really, I think it is a must win, yes, in short term, but, like, you don't want to get into what-ifs because it really racks your brain that they're in this position after three straight losses. But it's like, again, they could still lose Sunday, win out, and still have a chance, whether it's a division or a wild-card game. 10-7 is the mark. If they go 9-8, I don't think they're making it unless like three or four other teams lose out.
Right.
Because, I mean, phenomenally crazy, the Dolphins started 1-7 or 7-7. I mean, the Patriots had a seven-game winning streak before they just lost. So the Colts are now up and coming. You know, the Bills are 8-6, Chargers are 8-6, and everybody kept asking, like, why are the Colts and the Chargers ahead of the Ravens even though they have the same record? When it's multiple teams involved, head-to-head don't count. So the Ravens could have beat all four or five teams that ever logged in there, but now if it was just the Ravens and Colts or the Ravens and Chargers dealing with that 8-6 spot, Ravens would get the 9 because they go head-to-head. But, yeah, again, you have 3 8-6 teams, and if the Ravens beat both of them, I know it's weird because logic would think, well, the Ravens beat both of those teams head-to-head in the season, you leapfrog them. No, it's not the case.
Yeah.
It's just how it is. I mean, no, it's the same way in fantasy football. I mean, fantasy football is a little differently than reality, but fantasy football, they don't go head-to-head. They go by points scored. So when you're all tied up in the standings, they go how many fantasy points does your team score overall? You know, lucky for me, I was 7-7, and scored the second most points in the league.
Yeah.
And I was only 500. Does that tell you? Weird. But anyway, digress. Like I said, the Ravens still have a shot, but then it gets harder. So, yeah, it's a must win because you don't want to be swept by the Bengals. You don't want to give them a leg up. And you don't want to be – because with the division wins now being swept by the Bengals, I feel like it's like a one-and-a-half game or maybe even a virtually a two-game lead because it's like, well, if you tie them, they're going to get denied because they swept you.
Right.
So – you do it like the Browns and go 1-1. I mean, I hate for the Ravens to split each game and go 3-3 in division. That would suck. But, you know, focus on the Bengals. Dude, they're going to be a tough out. It's a road game. The North's on the line. You know, they're already putting bulletin board up. You know what? Eli Apple's chirping. You know, he's already calling Lamar on Twitter. It's it's a rivalry game. It's a division game. It's we're putting up on the board. The Ravens are going to remember that, and the Ravens are going to give them their best fight. For some crazy miraculous, I don't think the Ravens lose this one. I just don't think. With all, again, it's hard to say with like Lamar's injury and COVID and all that, but Huntley's yard has shown us enough that he can get the job done. We're just a few, couple clicks away, a couple plays away from tweaking it and getting it right. The team's been fighting the last 3 weeks. They haven't gotten really blown out. And essentially, if you even call the Dolphins game a blowout anyway, I think they get it done in Cincinnati in a 3 to 4 point fashion somewhere in that range. Like whether it's 21-17 or 23-20 in that range, that's kind of what I feel. It's going to be a slugfest. It's going to be a defensive game. I feel it's going to be low scoring. Just how I thought in the Packers game. I mean, the Ravens were clean. They didn't turn the ball over. Remember, that was one of my keys to the game of beating the Packers, and they almost did it or could have. You know, don't turn the ball over. Even if you want to call the turnover on downs a turnover, that's what it's called. I don't know if it's an official stat of a turnover, but, you know, they gave the ball back. But, you know, turnover on downs. But, you know, if they play clean like that, don't turn the ball over and stay in the game.
Right.
I think the Ravens have enough to not let a fourth in a row get through here in a losing streak. And I think they get off the snide. And you might say, well, how's that possible? I think it's possible because of their play, because they're just resilient. And they showed me being down 14 to the Green Bay Packers. I don't care if it was home or away. Still the Green Bay Packers. They were then the number one seed in the AFC. They still are. In the NFC, they still are. And you took them to the brink, and that's something to be proud of. So let's take that same aggressiveness and the same play, and let's go down there and beat Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. And I think the game's done. And I think, you know, the Ravens are coming out 9-6 victorious. And but I see the Ravens at 10-7, but I also see them. I see them winning their two North games. If we really want to preview the last few weeks here, I don't know. I mean, the Rams game's at home, and I get that, but I mean, the Rams are, I mean, dude, you got Matt Stafford coming here in 2 weeks with Cooper Kupp, who's having a phenomenal season.
Yeah.
It's tough. Oddly enough, I don't know if you saw that Matt Stafford. I don't want to get, you know, blowing past the Bengals onto the Rams. We'll bring it up too, but Matt Stafford was the fastest ever NFL history to throw for 50,000 pass yards.
Really?
Incredible.
Wow, I did not know that.
And but zero playoff wins.
Yeah.
So. And that's another discussion for another podcast, but kind of maybe it's a teaser of saying, like, is postseason success, that is it really measurable? Because I'm like, you look at Matt Stafford's numbers, he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
He had a Hall of Fame receiver in Calvin Johnson. He's the fastest in NFL history there for 50,000. I mean, I think Brady has 80,000. He's 30,000 beyond him, and I don't know how many years Stafford's got left, but I'm like, 50,000 is a pretty good chunk, and he's the fastest to do it. I mean, he's probably got a little bit left in the tank. So, no, I don't know. I just think 10 wins is going to get done for the Ravens is my point.
Yeah.
However they do it, I don't know. Whether they beat the Bengals and Rams and lose to the Steelers at the end of the year, I don't know.
Yeah.
I want the one against Pittsburgh at the end of the year no matter what. Send Big Ben out with an L. Don't make him make the playoffs. Have his career end start and end with a Ravens L in Baltimore would be fantastic storybook.
Yeah.
For me personally and for the rivalry, but – now, we have a ways to get there and break the Rams and the Steelers down. I know the Bengals are on the docket, but, you know, I feel good about the Ravens' chances, man. I think with the fight they have, no matter who's in there, you know, I know the Bengals blew us out the first time. I feel like it's a neon ago. It's a brand-new season still. You know, different football teams, different atmosphere, different stakes on the line now.
Yeah.
And at that time, that was the Ravens' second loss of the year, if I remember correctly. They went 5 straight and then lost that game. They were 5-1 entering that game, if I remember, and then they lost that one. So, you know, the Bengals handed them their second loss in this early season, and you know, it was kind of like, we'll see you again. And I think the Ravens this time correct it.
Do you go with a fully healthy Tyler Huntley who showed off against the Packers, or do you go with a 80% Lamar Jackson?
Great question.
He could be 100%. We don't know.
We don't know
right now. But I'm just saying.
But if you say, even if he's at 75, 25, right?
Yeah.
The logical thing says to start the healthier quarterback, but you're, like Harbaugh alluded to it last week, right, and we talked about it. You're playing Lamar no matter what. If he's good to go and cleared, you're playing him. Can't bench him. You're not doing that.
Yeah.
It ain't like he's out there not winning games. It's Lamar Jackson. Now, we understand Tyler Huntley's playing a lot better, and do you ride the hot hand, but – you could call it a hot hand, but again, Tyler Huntley's 1-2. A few plays away from being 3-0 the starter, but Lamar was in the game when they tried the 2-point conversion, and it, you know, if it was on the mark, boom, Lamar gets that win. So
I will say
you got to play a 75% Lamar over 100% Huntley. But the fact is, if Lamar is either playing horrible or something's off the rails, I don't know if Harbaugh would make an in-game switch on Lamar. I don't think Lamar would ever get benched because you imagine the media firestorm. But it's like, but if he were to get zinged up, you have a healthy backup waiting in the wings to really spell him. Or who knows, they could put Tyler Huntley in on a goal line package and give Lamar a breather, and have Huntley run it in and take the licks. Who knows? I don't know. But you got to throw Lamar out there if he's cleared.
Yeah.
You just can't. Unfortunately, whether we know Lamar's playing horrible right now, over and Huntley's playing better, and that's a fact. We see it. You got to go with Lamar. I just don't see a scenario where the Ravens bench their starter like that. I don't think it happens.
I love seeing Lamar on the sidelines cheering on Huntley.
That's the thing.
That
he's being a cheerleader.
Yeah.
He's excited for Snoop. So, at the end of the day, it's a team sport. It's a team effort. And we'll see what happens. But this isn't a Super Bowl 2000 year where Tony Banks started the season and they're giving Trent Dilfer a start. Like, it's Lamar Jackson. The same way. Like, Flacco playing bad or playing ailed. Are you going to bench Joe Flacco? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Same thing. No, I'm not comparing either player, but you're not going to bench Joe. You weren't going to bench Joe. You're not going to bench Lamar, same regards. But we'll see. We'll see what the doctors say. We'll see what the diagnosis is, and if he's, if it's still – and it even's even weird because even the morning of the game, they're like, it was reported, he's unlikely to play, but he's not officially ruled out. Well, which is it? Either he's playing or he's not. Like, to me – that just screamed he wasn't playing.
Yeah.
To me, that was kind of coach speak and media speak for, like, Lamar's not playing. We're just waiting for the official word. Yeah. But it is what it is. But we'll see.
Yeah.
See how it goes, man.
Well, I'm excited. It's an AFC North matchup. It's Ravens. It's Bengals.
The day after Christmas, it's going to be fun.
Christmas,
it's
Boxing Day.
It's a Christmas weekend. It's going to be a boxing match for the ages, man. And, hopefully the Ravens can get the knockout blow like Jake Paul did against Tyron Woodley, man. With that vicious
Do you think that was fixed?
Hook. Yeah.
Do you really? Because, like,
well, I mean, look,
said that there was
he dropped his arm. Look, if you look at it,
there was a movement that Jake Paul did with his wrist.
Someone was
signal.
Saying to look into that. I didn't really see it because I know, but thank you for bringing it up. Some other people said, like, it could have been a signal.
Yeah.
But either or, still had to happen. It was a crazy knockout, but you just see him because you see Woodley block it, and all of a sudden, like, he drops. To me, it was just sports.
Yeah.
I feel like, with money involved now, we talked about it before. It's like, does it water down every sport now because it's like the money goes away? I don't know.
Right.
Just money changes everything.
Jake Paul, that fight happened, and even though he's a little busy right now because he just got picked up by Tampa Bay, former Raven Le'Veon Bell said, why don't you take on a real boxer?
I remember that.
Take me on.
So. Bell would get his bell rung.
Yeah.
Pun intended. Dude,
He's going to be busy working with Tom Brady now.
I mean,
so.
he couldn't even make it half a season with the Ravens.
Yeah.
He's going to get in a ring. Dude, God bless him, but. I wouldn't pay to see that, but I know you get knocked out.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
It's been a packed week.
Yeah.
Holiday Christmas weekend is upon us. Wow. I think so. I think we got it covered. We got to march on and beat the Bengals, man. I mean, it's pretty straightforward at this point. 3 games left in the season.
Yep.
Biggest season ever. We got 18 weeks, 17 games now, and hey. How about be about it, quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, you can listen to our show straight on Facebook, and you can actually subscribe to the podcast on Facebook, so you don't need a separate app for that anymore. So go over and check out our Facebook page. Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm,
Overcast,
Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, YouTube, all those places. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and now you can actually rate us on Spotify as well. So if you're a Spotify user, give us those 5 stars, and we would really appreciate that. And then go on your social media platforms and tell everybody, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too.
I was going to interject when you were doing your little sign-off there, and I didn't want to ruin it, but when you said 5 stars, so if you get 5 stars, you get the 6-1 free. I always had to say that. Pretty funny.
You give 5 stars to your Uber driver. Give 5 stars to your favorite podcasters.
I need a rewards card around here, man. Like,
I know.
Yeah.
You know, since it's Christmas week, we got presents here. Let's do this live on the show. I want you to open up your gift while we're podcasting.
Well, isn't that special?
Yeah. Let's do that. So
why do I get to go first? Why do I get to go first? You do all the hard work.
Now, there is one in there that's wrapped. That's for Max, so you can't open up that one.
I can or can?
You can. Wait, well, let him open it.
Yeah, that's the fun of it. Pull this out of here. Bro, that's fantastic. Do you know that this would go in my office? I love this.
Right?
Okay, so describing it for all of our listeners, and we can take pictures and post them, but Brandon so nicely got me a nice plush pillow. It's a Baltimore Ravens pillow, and it's got a row of purple houses, and Santa and his reindeer above them. It's a nice little Christmassy little holiday pillow here. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Dude, this will go great with my Ravens Christmas stuff. And
right? I thought that was great.
No, this is great, man. Thank you for that find.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it. And you said the other one's for Max?
The other one's in there. Yeah, there's one more thing in there, too.
Okay. Let me check this out. The wrap one's Max.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Bro, this is sweet. Yo, is this like a custom design?
No, that's not a custom. I got that at Hot Topic.
Hot Topic of all places?
Yeah.
So, describing this as a Edgar Allan Poe t-shirt. It's a black and white t-shirt of his. It's kind of like a portrait of Edgar Allan Poe with a raven and a skull. That's awesome, bro. Who knew? Hot Topic on the sticker, duh.
You know we love Edgar Allan Poe here in Baltimore.
We do, and I don't have anything like this, so thank you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Thank you, man. Merry Christmas to you as well, and I will certainly take video of Max's opening his gifts because he loves to tear in them. And, you know, we always – see, we don't have kids, but we got our doggies.
We got dogs.
But now it's your turn.
They love opening up presents.
All righty.
All right, so
– so it's all in one. The gift inside it, you can open it for Finn if you want, but the roll-up poster's yours.
Okay.
The gift in there is Finn.
So we got peanut butter dog biscuits for Finn. You know he loves his peanut butter.
And not only that, but they're Max's favorite. Okay. So I wanted to share the wealth.
Very nice.
Peanut butter, dogs love peanut butter, as we know. Max loves it, and I wanted to share. I was, like, in the store, and I'm like, you know, I was like, because the toy selection is grim with Christmas weekend.
Right.
And I don't know if Finn has the same problem with Max, but he destroys toys as soon as he gets them.
Immediately.
But then not only that, but I'm like, the toys that were left, they were there for like puppies, or I didn't like them because it was like, number one, we care about each other's dogs, and I'm like, the last thing I want to do is buy a gift, Finn get it, and like get a piece down his throat. I would be like, I don't know what I would do if I was so responsible. So I'm like, you know what? Let's get him a treat. So while I was out there buying, because Max is, Max ain't gonna listen to buy his, but I got Max treats for his gift too. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna share the wealth and get him. I don't know if Finn ever had those, but Max absolutely loves those.
Yeah.
And like I said, and it supports charity. So I feel like to share the wealth with the with the peanut butter treats from Finn. So
yeah, peanut butter is good. Finn is actually allergic to chicken, and there is like chicken in
everything. My dog's food's chicken and barley, so
yeah,
it's interesting to understand. Wow.
Finn loses his fur and turns like bright pink when he has chicken.
Poor dude.
We gotta like hunt for food.
Well, this is chicken less. It's peanut butter made with organic barley flour. So as long as he's not allergic to barley or peanut butter,
yeah.
But there's no wheat, corn, or soy. It says on the box. So, and then the next gift is yours now. I pull some strings to get this, and I'll give you context when you open it.
Okay, let me see. We got a poster here. Oh, look at this. That's Michael Myers.
And a little context to that.
Okay.
That is one of the original designs by one of my best friends who actually got signed on doing, remember how I told you, like, his company did the marketing for Halloween, new Halloween? His signature's on the bottom. It's an official print. That's one of the official prints. He actually designed that artwork specifically for Halloween Kills.
Wow.
And his company's already signed on to do Halloween Ends. And nice. So that's an official design print from his company. So I said I wanted to gift it personally for me to you because I know, number one, you're a big fan of Mike Myers. We saw Halloween Kills in theaters together.
We did.
And, you know, what it got me thinking that night after we saw the movie, and I saw the movie posters in the theater, I kind of asked my friend, I was like, is your posters, like, nationwide in the theater? And then, you know, he got a Mike Myers, you remember the Mike Myers cake I took a picture of?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what gave me the idea when he got the cake, and I'm like, I want to do something like that for Brandon, but like, I would love to get you a cake like that. But I'm like, I don't know if I could keep that frozen
right.
for 2 months for Christmas. So I'm like, what do I do? And then we were talking, and my bro, he says, I'll hook you up. I said, and I went to him, I said, can you do one of the original prints for Brandon? I want to gift it to him. You're not going to find that in stores because it's an original.
That's amazing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you know, I love my Ravens, but I love scary movies. And just as much.
And we trade off. Edgar Allan Poe's stoic and scary, and you got Mike Myers.
That's awesome. Thank you so
Nothing
much,
says
man.
Merry Christmas like these creepy dudes.
Nothing says Merry Christmas like Michael Myers and Halloween Kills.
That's right. But thank
I actually,
you.
Like, this is good, too, because you and I saw Halloween Kills because my girlfriend will not see.
Hates horror.
Yeah, hates horror movies. I talked her into going down to Fell's Point at the beginning of December to go to a Krampus walk.
I saw that. How did that go?
She agreed to it.
That's
she
incredible.
Did it, and there was a guy who had like the coolest Krampus
that
outfit.
That looked pretty cool.
Massive horns. Like, dude was scary, even to me. Nicest guy in the world, though. But like, looking at him, he's really scary. You look at the picture that I took with her. I'm like into it. I'm like, this is so cool.
I seen it.
And
she's
her
all
face
like,
is like,
yeah,
I want to go home.
She's a trooper.
Yes.
Tell you that.
Yes, absolutely.
So hope it gets us played nice and proudly, man.
Absolutely.
It's something. And shout out to my buddy, man. It's he does design work. His company's Weak Fish. If you haven't noticed, they're giving the shout outs recently. He's been doing those game day posts for us. He designs those. So he's been doing it for our podcast. And so shout out to him and the work that he does. One of my very dear friends. His name's Mike Dove. So just, again, want to give him a shout out. Him and his company does incredible work, as you see with the poster. And yeah. I was so tickled to death when pun intended, right? With horror and death, and Edgar Allan Poe tied in when he got the contract for that movie, and he's got the another one that comes out next year with the same guy. So incredible. I wanted to share the original print. Like I said, what's special about that is you can't buy that online or in stores. It's an original print from his company, and he designed it. So I gotta find it anywhere. So it's unique.
Awesome, man. Very cool. Well, hey, everybody out there, Merry Christmas to all those who celebrate. We're gonna hopefully have a good Christmas, have a good Boxing Day after with a great matchup between the Ravens and the Bengals. So, Josh, I think it's time, man.
It's time.
Take us out the way you always
Just
do.
Just like Buffer, it's time. thank you for all the support, everybody. I mean, again, me and Brandon couldn't do it without you guys. Love the interactions. Love what we do here. It's been a great run. Yeah, next year we're going to be eclipsing 300 episodes of this podcast. It's crazy enough, and we talked about it. Podcasts usually fizzle out well before 100.
12 episodes.
12.
That's the average.
Well before 100, yes. That's what I said. So, we blew the average out of the water and then some. So, we're keeping trucking. We're going to keep doing our thing, call podcasting, and see what the Ravens' next installment is. We got a tough one at Cincinnati. It's all on the line. All of our frustrations come down to this. We get it. The aggressive play calling hasn't worked out. I feel like it's due. You got to be rewarded with this kind of decision making, and whether we feel that decision making's officially putting him out of playoff hunt, we get it. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
It's disappointing. But at the end of the day, just like our manager with trusting Ozzie, and Ozzie we trust, I feel like in the organization, not even putting our trust in the one guy or one player, I feel like in the organization we trust. We just got to trust that the Ravens are going to do the right thing no matter what. And all in all, you got to believe that they're going to put the best effort forward. And Harbaugh believes in his players, and we got to buy into it too, I guess, as fans. And tough one to Cincinnati. Got to come out swinging. Got to get it done. Dude, North's on the line.
Yes, it
it's
is.
It's late December. Do we want to win the North? Absolutely. This is the way to do it. The key is through Cincinnati. They stand in our way. Got to go. Take it from them in Cincinnati. So, road game. Christmas weekend. All enjoy with the family. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you all. Just enjoy the blessed season with your family. I know there's a lot of crazy things going on in the world. And, we wish you all the best in this happy and holiday safe season. Be safe with your families. And with that, got one thing left to do. How about let's go take a victory in Cincinnati? Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.